Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, April the 8th, 2013. If you've been outside or taken even a look out the window, it should come as no surprise that the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality has issued an air quality alert. The air is horrible out there today. If you've never been to Cairo, Egypt, this is the way it looks when you fly into Cairo. Visibility, not very good. We are live each weekday, noon to 1, on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show at my website. You can hear it at buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com, and you can hear the program as we podcast to buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. Try to make it as easy for you as possible to find us. We'll get things rolling this Monday afternoon with our Monday political face-off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Ackerstrom. 30 minutes past the hour, the latest on the dangerous situation on the Korean Peninsula from General John Wickham. General Wickham is the former U.S. Army Chief of Staff, and he is former commander of all South Korean and American forces in Korea. This gentleman is incredibly well connected with information about what's going on in Korea, so you'll want to hear that. If you have a question or comment at any time, please join us. The Buckmaster Show live line is declared officially open at 790-2040. With me in studio, seated to my right, Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. He is now serving his second four-year term. Your third four-year term as the National Committeeman. And Paul Ackerstrom is with us. Mr. Ackerstrom is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. He was also the chair for the whole party for a brief time, and we're glad to have Paul and Bruce with us. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, my nice pleasure.
And before we hear from you, I want to remind everyone, and gladly to do so, that the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And if you like Moe, and we hope you do, you can like him on Facebook. Bruce, were you out gardening in this dusty weather?
Yeah, I was pretty active over the weekend. I was getting my plant fertilizing done and raking up and blowing and power washing the pavers in our driveway. I was pretty sore last night when I went to bed.
And then top it all off by putting a couple of those big porterhouse steaks.
Salmon. I grilled salmon last night, and I did them to perfection. Well, Thank you.
Didn't go the red meat route. Paul, did you have a good weekend?
I did. I was inside yesterday doing our fantasy baseball draft, and that's like Christmas in April for me. I love baseball.
So you're doing just some fun stuff.
Yep.
All right. Today, the Tucson Police Officers Association announced that they would like Councilman Paul Cunningham's chief of staff to resign. Katie Bolger was arrested last month because she wouldn't sign a jaywalking citation. Instead, she cussed out officers who had stopped her. She later apologized to the police chief, Chief Roberto Villasenor. Mr. Cunningham has told Tucson News Now that Bolger made a bad judgment call and should get a second chance, and he has no plans to fire her. Paul, should she get this second chance that Mr. Cunningham says she should?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what she did in terms of a jaywalking citation was, I mean, that's a civil citation, and I think she reacted in anger because I guess the police officer that cited her almost hit her. Obviously, if she was jaywalking, that's problematic. But she inappropriately got angry in a situation she should have kept her head. However, I don't think that's a firing offense for somebody who's put a lot of effort into the city and is a good employee, knows her stuff, is a real asset to Paul Cunningham's staff because of that. I've known Katie for a long time, and yeah, she can have a temper, but this isn't something that somebody should be fired over.
Bruce Ash, should she be let go?
When you play the "Do you know who I am?" card with a police officer and expect to get a positive or a favorable outcome, I think you're magically thinking. I don't know if Katie Bolger was impaired that evening. I don't know what caused her to jaywalk. Certainly, jaywalking is not the issue. Even her impairment is not the issue if she was, in fact, impaired. The issue was her
behavior
with a police officer. It was all caught on a dash cam, very well documented. Nobody could, do a he said, she said on this. This isn't like this goofy article that appeared in the Arizona Daily Independent about Steve Kozacik, supposedly relieving himself on an Elcon wall someplace. I mean, this was a well-documented thing. I think at the end of the day, it's Katie's decision. It's not Paul's. Paul's, I don't know if he's still a probation officer, but that certainly has been, his vocation, his career. So, perhaps he has some insights on this that, a mere civilian like myself really doesn't understand.
I understand when people are in public life, they're held to a higher standard, but this seems to be going a little far to require her to resign.
I don't know why it is that Democrats seem to have a one standard for themselves in thinking, and completely another standard usually about somebody else.
In what way are you talking about, Bruce? I mean, I don't understand.
In just about every way. A Republican opens up his mouth, and, all of a sudden he's a racist or he's a homophobe or he hates women. There's a war on children, a war on granny, and everything else, under the sun. And when Democrats do things, Jesse Jackson Jr., for example, he's given practically a free pass out of Dodge, leaving Chicago now. And, the press is leaving him alone. Everybody's just
He resigned.
Yeah, well, and he well should have.
Okay.
Because he was facing criminal prosecution.
This type of thing isn't something you resign over, and this is something that should not cost her job.
This is something
that
Katie's going to make that decision, yeah. I'm sure. She's a smart woman.
12:12 on the Buckmaster Show on the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here, and Paul Eckerstrom. Bruce Ash was hosting for 3 hours for Emil Franzi on Saturday, and I happened to catch your interview with the chairman of the Republican National Committee, and you did a great job. That was about a 20-minute interview. That was a good get for you. But you know this gentleman.
Well, we work together pretty closely, and I'm hoping to be reelected on Wednesday as the chairman of the Standing Committee on Rules.
So maybe the interview helped a little bit. But no, it was interesting to hear the game plan for Republicans now as they try to kind of reinvent themselves.
Well, I think what the message that Reince clearly was trying to communicate, Reince Priebus.
Okay.
What Reince was trying to talk about was everybody knows what Republicans believe in. It's a matter of us relating that better to people and their everyday lives. And it's a matter of doing what we've been so successful with on state levels. We control 30 governors' positions. And of those 30 states where there are Republican governors, 24 of those states have complete control by Republicans in the state legislatures. So we're doing a great job at a state level communicating. The RGA has done a great job with some pretty sensational governors across the country. We need to do that in these national elections a lot better. It's a lot more work that the Republican Party has to do. We raised a bunch of money. We did not make our get our message across to the voters. And frankly, I think it's safe to say Barack Obama, even though people may not have agreed with him on policy, more people liked him than our guy. That's a big part of this.
That's true. Go ahead, Paul.
I think repackaging the same old policies doesn't necessarily work. And I think one of the problems in this country that's happening right now is we have an unprecedented concentration of wealth to the very, very top in this country. more than ever in our history. And the middle class is getting squeezed. And I think until the Republicans face up to the fact that they need to start offering solutions that helps that the middle class prosper and less concentration of wealth to the very, very top of our society, then they're going to still have this problem. Right now they represent that very, very top of this society and that wants to even get more money. I just saw a report that CEOs are making more money than ever before in the history of our country in terms of the disparity from their workers. That's just wrong. It just sounds like it's over-the-top greed. And people don't necessarily cotton to that, and that's why the Republicans are having a difficult time connecting. I also think that, you know, until they start actually connecting with, let's say, the Latino community in a better way rather than an exclusive message excluding them from our society – more of a message is we want to help you have an equal chance in our society. Specifically, every immigrant population in our history has valued education as a way to get in the society.
And if
the Republicans keep on the course of destroying education and public education in this country, they're going to have a hard time with that population as well.
Paul, when the Democrats lost in 2004, there were many in the Democratic Party as well as outside who wondered if there would be a party in 2008. Now, we saw what happened. Democrats never say I'm sorry. Democrats never change their message. And in fact, I would argue the Democrats went further to the left when they ran Barack Obama in 2008. What they did in 2008 is they way outworked the Republicans. The Republicans may not have had the best candidate or the best message. The Republicans didn't have a 50-state strategy, as Howard Dean had when he became chairman of the Democratic Party. That was a smart strategy. The Republicans have, unfortunately, taken this blue state, red state strategy and literally left their fate to having to run between 3 and 5 states on election night in a general election. That's a bad, bad strategy to have. It's not the strategy that the Republican Party is going to have going forward. And frankly, I like all of the diverse voices within the Republican Party. You'd be very surprised if you actually listened for more than 20 seconds rather than pontificating about how Republicans have this excluding sort of an attitude with respect to immigration.
We're so negative
today, frankly, Paul, everybody knows the transparency of the Democrat message on immigration. It's more votes. You don't do immigration reform to get more votes, Paul. You do it because it's the right thing to do.
Hold your thought there, Paul. You'll be up next when we come back on the Monday Political Face-Off with Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. If you have a question or comment about anything Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom have been talking about on our Monday Political Face-Off, which is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash, one of the things that is on the table would be a nominating convention by the end of June. That would really push it up by 2 months at least.
Yeah, there's a lot of different topics on the agenda for the Rules Committee. One of them is moving the convention up. That's strictly a function of the FEC and fundraising rules. Mitt Romney had about $100 million dumped on him from mid-late May through the end of June in the 2012 election cycle, and he literally was powerless. Even though there was a bunch of money sitting there for him, he was powerless to respond to any of those attacks. And Republicans were really working on an election-style strategy from two cycles before, and obviously that's got to change. And these are going to be difficult rules to change, because once they pass through the Rules Committee, they then have to pass by a three-quarter vote of the entire Republican National Committee. And there are several disparate members who actually think that doing a early convention or changing the primary calendar only serves establishment candidates and not sort of an alternative sort of a candidate that might arise organically.
Paul Eckerstrom, what would you think about that, moving it up?
It makes more sense to me than what we've had in the past in terms of moving both the conventions up earlier. I mean, we used to have conventions earlier earlier in the summers. But one way or the other, I don't think conventions make much difference anymore. Bruce mentioned that money is spent at a certain time and there's certain election rules that it affects. But really, conventions aren't as important as what they once were. They used to be kind of the kickoff to the general election. I think the general election starts at the end of the primary process. Whoever becomes the nominees on both parties, that's when it starts. And so I don't think it makes much difference.
Bruce, one of the things you mentioned was that the Democrats or the Republicans have been successful on the state level, at the state house with the governorships, but not nationally. Why is that?
Well, part of it is its message, and the Republican governors who've been successful are people who've connected with people in their states who want less government. They want lower taxes. They've been able to make that connection on a local basis. They want good roads and good governance, and Republican governors have been able to produce that across the country. National elections, presidential elections, tend to be cultural elections in some respects. The last two elections, I think, have had a lot of cultural implications. And really, even when you look at the 2000 convention, 2000 election, Gore versus Bush, that was also a cultural election. Had to do with global warming and had to do with, you know, the economy and so on. These were big cultural election topics that were on. You know, that were decided upon.
Let me respond to something that Bruce said a bit ago. You know, he talked about the Democrats not doing well, and then actually went further to the left in 08 with Barack Obama, which I don't think was the case at all. In actuality, Barack Obama is a pretty mainstream, middle of the road president. And what I think the Democrats did after they lost a lot in the 80s is they started to come back to an economic message of economic fairness for working folks and being less in involved with issues that didn't matter to that. The core constituency, which was the middle class that was built during the New Deal under FDR, that coalition. And I think we've gotten back to that. We need to stick to that. And I do believe that the Democrats have not done as well in the more local and state races because they haven't put the resources in the concentration like they should. You know, the Republicans have been much better at developing their bench in terms of candidates at the lower levels. They've been putting resources at the lower levels. And that's important, and the Democrats have not done a very good job of that in a tactical sense. And I've been a big proponent in the past that we need to do a better job with that.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Richard would like to speak with us. Richard, go ahead.
Thank you, Bill. Again, another debate among two extremists, even though these are good guys. And Bruce, I like your aggression today. but really, if you look at it, the reason people like me are independents, we're turned off by both parties. They can't seem to admit their mistakes or their faults. You know, Bush gave us the Iraq disaster. Obama has given us the Obamacare disaster. Neither one of these agendas are what the American people wanted and what they needed. And the list goes on and on and on. I wish you guys could find a way somehow to get to the middle a little more, where you get a little more traction on what the American people actually want. We want, you know, we want less government, we want more freedom, and we want some clarity on this corruption that's going on.
Okay, thank you, Richard. Go ahead, Bruce Ash.
Richard, sounds like you're a Republican to me. less government, lower costs of government, less corruption. These are things that Republicans stand for. And I certainly do understand why people wouldn't want to vote Republican. They don't call us the dumb party for nothing.
Well, and I would say that, you know, as the Democrats have in recent years gotten back to an economic fairness message, I think we need to put a real meat to the bones there. And the main thing I believe, and I've always believed this, is equal opportunity creates economic
There's
fairness.
There's a definite difference between fairness and economic and opportunity. They're two completely different things. So when you talk you're talking about entitlement state, welfare state.
No, I'm not.
And that's the direction that we've gone particularly. You know, and we have got
Bruce,
tens
if you would let me finish,
of,
let if Paul you would ever let me thought. Finish my thought was equal opportunity equals economic fairness in the long run, and equal opportunity starts with and ends with a well-financed, good public education system, which we are neglecting in this country and specifically in this state. We've neglected for a long time now. If we want real economic fairness, we need to get our education system back in order and well-financed so our kids have equal opportunity in developing their own business and economic future.
Then allow the economy to be like an engine, creating greater wealth, greater taxes, more resources to do those sorts of things that both Republicans and Democrats agree upon.
Gotta go. Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, thank you both very much. Hope you have a great day, both of you.
Thanks, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe can really take care of all of your custom framing needs. He custom frames mirrors, the art on your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com, and like them on Facebook. General John Wickham is coming up right after the break. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. North Korea threatens to permanently shut down a factory complex that it has run jointly with South Korea. Today, the North pulled out more than 50,000 North Korean workers from that complex just north of the DMZ. A Wisconsin woman accused of torturing and starving her teen stepdaughter has entered a plea of no contest to charges related to child abuse. The plea came just before her trial was set to begin. Pennsylvania's governor ordering flags at state facilities to be lowered to half staff in honor of Philadelphia firefighter Captain Michael Goodwin. He died in the line of duty. On Wall Street, in the final half hour of trading, the Dow is up about 13 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 9, and the S&P 500 Index 5 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by the City of Benson and their 8th annual Bluegrass Festival in the Park. That is April 26th through the 28th at Lions Park in Benson, Arizona. Benson is gateway to the San Pedro Valley, and it's just 45 minutes east of Tucson. It's going to be a great weekend. The performers, very long list of top bluegrass performers. You can see the complete schedule for the Benson Bluegrass in the Park by visiting their website, BensonVisitorCenter.com. It's now our pleasure to welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We do so once a month, our contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, who was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley and joins us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General Wickham, how are you today?
Thank you, Bill, very much.
I know you are following very closely the developments in Korea, and there have been so many developments. The latest, our mutual friend, Voice of America correspondent Steve Herman, reporting today from Seoul that the South Korean government has confirmed that there is a sign that North Korea is making nuclear test preparations. This would be the second nuclear test of the year and the fourth in recent years. Your comment, please.
Yes, they're probably going to test another nuclear weapon. They have in the past, as you point out, Bill, tested, and the yields of these tests are modest. They're less than what we used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But nonetheless, they are significant to be able to set off a weapon. And sort of a worrisome thing, you know, the Iranians could very well have developed a weapon in the future and get the North Koreans to set it off to test it for the Iranians, and we'd never know the difference. So a troublesome dimension there. In any event, also the North Koreans may very well try to fire some more missiles, again, testing that. What's going on in North Korea is a conundrum. As I indicated in the op-ed, which I thank you very much, Bill, for getting the star to print that, North Korean situation, the leader, Kim Jong-un, a 29-year-old leader, not very capable man, doesn't know much about the world, although he was educated in Switzerland. But the military are running things in North Korea, and I think the military are flexing their muscles and the capability that has been given to them. And if you were a North Korean and were being pressured by economic sanctions and opprobrium from the world, what could you do? You can't just shout anger about them. You show your muscles, and that's what the North Koreans do that. And the North Korean behavior also reflects how North Koreans and Koreans in general treat women. North Koreans are abusive towards women, and so it's a natural phenomenon for them to be sort of abusive and warlike in their behavior.
General Wickham, let me ask you, this, of course, flare-up is one of the worst since the end of the Korean conflict in the early 50s. But when you were the top military leader for South Korea and the U.S. Under President Reagan, did you have a flare-up that came very dangerously close to full war?
You're exactly right. Thanks, Bill. And that's another thing that the Koreans, North Koreans, do. They test leaders. They test the South Korean president, a new president, when that inaugurated, and the U.S. president. And now South Korea has a brand new president, Park Geun-hye, the daughter of the former dictator, Park Chung-hee. My wife, Anne, and I know Park Geun-hye very well. She's an extraordinarily capable woman, and I think will be a remarkably able leader of South Korea. She's anxious to develop closer relationships with North Korea, but she's very cautious about that. And when President Reagan became president, yes, the North Koreans tried to shoot down one of our SR-71 reconnaissance aircraft, and I was given instructions to stand down all reconnaissance aircraft and develop a comprehensive plan, which the president approved, and that plan gave me the authority when we commenced the flights again, if the North Koreans hit one of our reconnaissance planes, I had the authority to launch attacks on North Korea. And we were prepared. We had pilots in cockpits. We had people across the DMZ that were ready to go across the DMZ. We were in an operations center with the South Korean leaders there, and we were listening with translators to North Korean communications when we launched these aircraft. But the North Koreans did not fire again. They knew we were prepared for war, and they stood down. And they will stand down now. They're not, the North Koreans are not crazy, but they will test us, as they have been in the past.
General Wickham, I want to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Ira has a question for you about Japan, well, perhaps arming themselves. Go ahead, Ira. You're with General Wickham.
First off, General?
Yes.
Yes, I believe we have bribed the North Koreans for the last 20 years at least. And I would say this. Do you think that Japan, if she would arm herself with nuclear weapons, would be a hedge against any further problem?
Okay, thank you, Ira. Go ahead, General.
That's an excellent question, Ira, and I think a lot of people are beginning to realize that as we talk about getting rid of the nuclear umbrella, the U.S. nuclear umbrella, you're going to get Taiwan and Japan and South Korea, Saudi Arabia and Jordan and other countries that have come to depend on that for their security to begin to look for nuclear weapons. The king of Saudi Arabia has said publicly that he can acquire weapons within a week. He'll buy them from Pakistan. And the Japanese legislators, some of them have begun talking about building nuclear capability. They have plenty of plutonium, a huge amount of it, from their nuclear reactors, and the U.S. is trying to help the Japanese get rid of that plutonium so they could quickly get onto the technology of building nuclear weapons. The same with the South Koreans. So we do not need, as you point out, Ira, we do not need nuclear proliferation. And that's what's going to happen unless we get on top of this horse and ride it to the ground and do something responsible with the North Koreans. And unfortunately, we have not been talking to the North Koreans for a couple of years. Believe that or not, we've been ignoring them and treating them as an outraged brat. And that's not the way to treat a nation. It's got those kind of capabilities.
And as you pointed out in your fine op-ed piece in the Sunday Arizona Daily Star, two out of three South Koreans who are recently polled, General, believe that their country should acquire nuclear weapons due to these ominous developments with the North.
That's right, Bill. It's exactly right. The polls indicate that. And they've relied on the nuclear umbrella. And the South Koreans could start their technology program within months. They have nuclear materials that are coming out of their power plants, their nuclear power plants, so South Korea could be on the nuclear bandwagon rather quickly if they chose to do that. I don't think they will choose to do it, but there's talk about it, and that's the worrisome thing. We need to get on this thing.
All right. General Wickham, we're going to take a break right here, and I want to move on to other topics when we continue. But to summarize, General Wickham saying that he believes that the North Koreans will stand down from this current crisis. When we continue with the general, a couple of very important issues, sequestration and veterans care. Those will be on the table after we hear from the fine lineup of people who support this program. Please support them.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, 790-2040 for our Buckmaster Show live line. And this portion of our program is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And if you like to ride bicycles, you might want to consider Tour of the Gila. It's a 5-day bicycle stage race from May 1st through the 5th in Silver City. Lots of great places to stay, including Pinos Altos Cabins, Ridge Park RV Park, and Silver City KOA. You can find out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. And joining us for his monthly visit on the Buckmaster Show, General John Wickham, who is a bicycle rider himself. Did you do 10 miles this morning, General, or five?
Not quite, Bill. Too windy.
Yeah, it is too windy. Yeah. It's really dusty and kind of nasty out there. Well, we talked about South Korea and the North Korean situation in our first segment with you, and I want to talk about sequestration. We're now about 6 weeks into sequestration, which started on March the 1st. What do you see as the impact, if any, really, so far in the Defense Department?
Well, as you point out, Bill, sequestration is the requirement of cutting $500 billion over the next 10 years out of the Defense Department, and then another $500 out of the non-defense part of the government over the next 10 years. So it's going to be severe. And for the Defense Department alone, for the rest of this year, it's about $45 billion. So it's significant. And we're going to see people being furloughed from the Defense Department, maybe 15 days of furlough. That's a 15% pay cut. That's why the president has taken his own pay cut of 5%, and the Secretary of Defense and John Kerry, the Secretary of State, doing the same thing. We're going to see Raytheon laying off some people. There's going to be some contracts that Raytheon and other contractors are not going to see signed and fulfilled. So there's going to be an impact on jobs and working situations. So it's severe. And one can argue that Congress should have been smart enough to have figured out how we close the deficit gap without going through sequestration. And, well, I think we would all agree. But unfortunately, the gridlock that exists in Congress has been made it unable to do that. There can be some cuts made, no doubt. I think we've got too much overhead, too many. For example, we've got in the Defense Department, we've got over 200 three- and four-star flag officers, generals and admirals. And Bob Gates, when he was Secretary of Defense, wanted to cut it by half, cut down to 100, and he was unable to do that. Well, I think Chuck Hagel, is going to try to tackle that. I think we can make some cuts. We've just been unable and unwilling to make some of the cuts that make sense. And I can get into more detail of that if you wish.
Did you say 200 generals and admirals?
Three stars.
Oh, my goodness. So
three and four stars.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I want to move on to veterans care. So, is the sequestration impacting the veterans?
No, the sequestration will not impact the Veterans Affairs budget. The good news is that President Obama has put more money into the Veterans Affairs budget than any previous president. He walks the talk, caring for veterans. And unfortunately, some of our previous presidents did not walk the talk. So I don't think we're going to see any cuts there. However, with sequestration hitting the Defense Department and the Army, Navy, and Air Force, they're going to cut support, medical support, and other support for military people, and that will conceivably hit some of the veterans. If veterans are going to use medical facilities that the Army, Navy, and Air Force operate, those are going to be reduced. So veterans are going to face some cuts that way, but not from the Veterans Affairs.
And I know we had Congresswoman Kirkpatrick on our program recently, General. She's very concerned about veteran care. There is a backlog right now for many of these people, and this is just not a time that we need to be backlogging these people with these brain injuries and PTSD running rampant, really.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. The backlog has grown, and as Rick Shinseki, the head of the VA, has admitted, some of that backlog he has caused himself, because Shinseki, to his credit, has opened up the opportunity to claim veterans' help due to Agent Orange. this god-awful pesticide that was used in Vietnam. And I'm a victim of that myself with leukemia. And that has added several hundred thousand more veterans' claims than might otherwise have existed. But the claims have taken too long to clear. We should have had more people examining these claims. And we should have had a Manhattan Project kind of arrangement to clear the house and get these claims down to a few days instead of a couple of years to get them resolved.
Well, it's a very bad situation, especially in light of the really high number of suicides among our active duty personnel and many of our people who have returned from the Middle East. It's just a situation that's horrible.
Yes, the suicides is horrible in all of the services and among veterans. It's the highest in our nation's history. And what is beginning to emerge now also, domestic abuse, beating up on your wife and children, has now become a major problem for all of the services. What's causing all of this? Some of it has been the extended deployments and continual separation of families, but some of it is caused by the fact that for the past decade, we've been in war, and we're building up a warrior culture. Our job is to make and break things and kill people, and that does not square with taking care of people and being nice to people. And so as a result of the warrior ethos that we've built up, we have contributed, I think, to some of this problem of domestic abuse and substance abuse. The alcoholism that's going on in the services is the worst also in its history.
I know you tried to do something about that when you were chief of the U.S. Army, about the drinking on base.
Yes, that's right, Bill. There's an old myth that exists in the military, and the myth is that you cannot be a warrior unless you're a two-fisted drinker, you are profane, and you're a womanizer. In other words, abusing of women. And I've tried to get rid of that myth. A lot of senior people like Bradley and others thought it was a myth, and they tried to get rid of it too. But it's back in spades, and it's just wrong. It's the wrong way to go. You can't be a warrior without doing any of that.
How widespread was the drinking problem there on the bases?
Considerable. And in part, we did it to ourselves, because when you were assigned overseas, you got a quota of alcohol. For example, in Korea, the quota was four bottles of booze a month plus four cases of beer. That's a lot of booze.
Wow.
And you could buy that, and a lot of that got into the black market, but a lot of it got into people's stomach.
You're talking about per one?
One person.
For each soldier?
Yep.
Boy, where did that come from?
Well, some of that came from trying to sell stuff through the commissary and PX to generate funds, and some of it came from the associations of the service people that we need to do this. It's a pastime. You know, alcohol in the nation is a serious problem. I don't want to get on a hobby horse here, but medics will tell us that 15 to 17% of our population are alcoholic.
General Wickham, always a pleasure talking with you, and we really want to recap your insight on the North Korean situation, because many people are very worried that we're right around the corner from World War III, but you don't think we're gonna see you believe North Korea will stand down in summary.
Yes, I do. North Korea is going to be a pain in the neck. They're going to be scary, but they are not crazy, and they realize that if they were to do something hostile, really hostile, the retribution that could be visited on them would be super destructive. No, they're not going to do it. And also the Chinese are going to play an increasingly but secretive role in keeping them under control.
General Wickham, always a pleasure. Our regards to your lovely wife, Anne, who I believe is celebrating her birthday today.
Actually, it was Last month.
Oh, last month. Sorry about
you're
that.
You're close.
I was close.
Okay.
Have a great one. Thank you very much.
Bye.
General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. And bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We really appreciate Culligan Water's support. All of our guests are given a bottle of Culligan water, all of our in-studio guests, and they thank you, Culligan, as well. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show, 3 to 5, right here on KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030. Then tomorrow morning, it's the Wake Up Tucson Show with Chris and Joe. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 12:04. We'll have Terry Bracey, our guy in Washington, giving us the latest on the budget battle. That's coming up tomorrow on Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.